David wrote in Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We have the privilege and the blessing of coming together this morning to worship the Creator of heaven and earth, to give honor to our God, and to remember his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We will begin our worship this morning with the singing of hymn number 88. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Hymn number 88. while our brother Ian McFarland from the Book Road Ecclesia leads us in an opening prayer.
Our loving, merciful Father in heaven, Thou the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, and our God, we give Thee all praise and honor, Father, for we recognize that Thou art the great Creator of the heavens and of the earth. And we realize, Father, that in Thy mighty power, all the nations are but dust. And Father, it is a wonderful privilege that we have this day that we can approach before Thee in prayer. We are so very thankful, Father, for this wonderful blessing which Thou hast bestowed upon all of us, that we are able to come to this Bible school to learn of Thy ways, to study Thy word of truth. And we thank Thee, Father, for this marvelous privilege. And we pray, Father, that Thou will help us this week that we might keep apart from the cares and the distractions of our daily lives, that we might push these things aside as we meet with our brothers and sisters around Thy word and study from it, that Thou will indeed help us, Father, and encourage and strengthen all of us in these the last days before the return of Thy Son to this earth. We thank Thee, Father, for these wonderful blessings. We pray that throughout this week, Father, that Thou be with Thy children, keep them safe in all their activities. We pray, Father, that Thou will bless the school, that all of us might grow spiritually to think more like Thou would have us to think, to walk in the footsteps of Thy Son, who we come to remember this morning. We remember Him, Father, and we pray that as we consider the work of Thy Son, even the death and the resurrection, that we might contemplate what has been done for us, that He was bruised for our iniquities, and that we might truly understand what this means. Father, we pray that Thou will be with our meeting this day, that we might do those things which are pleasing in Thy sight. Please help us, Father, to be more like Thy Son, that we might be pleasing before Thee. We pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters, both near and far, those that are sick, physically or spiritually. We pray, Father, as the great healing physician, that Thou wilt be with them and help them in their time of need. Father, we commend this meeting into Thy hand this day and pray for a blessing upon us. For we pray, Father, as the psalmist has said, to search us, to see our hearts, to try us and know our thoughts, if there be any wicked way in us. And above all, Father, that Thou will lead us in the way everlasting. Please hear our prayer, Father, for we would give Thee no rest until Thou would make Jerusalem at peace and Thy Son will stand in this earth again. Hear our prayer, Father, and accept our praise and our thanks, for we offer it through the name of Thy Son, our Lord and our Savior, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We have a few announcements this morning. I'll take up the offering to defray the costs of continuing our worship with the singing of hymn number 295. Hallelujah! Sing of Jesus. His the scepter, His the throne. Hallelujah! His the triumph, His the victory alone. Hark! The songs of peaceful Zion thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, hath redeemed us by His blood. Hymn number 295. Our reading this morning will be taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 25. We'll ask Brother Ron Ledbetter of the Book Road Ecclesia to come forward and lead us in that reading.
Reading from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 25. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance, again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
The apostle exhorted us to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I now have the pleasure to call on our brother Jim Harper of the Meriden, Connecticut Ecclesia to exhort us this morning. The subject of his exhortation is, Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Brother Jim.
And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own image after his likeness and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. And the Bible sets before us, brothers and sisters, young people, our human predicament. Death reigns because of sin. We move forward from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, and sin is now imputed by the law. Men, Israelites at least, had no more excuse for not knowing their sin before God. And written into their law dozens and dozens and dozens of times from Genesis to the book of Deuteronomy, they are reminded of their iniquities, their transgressions, their sins. And they die. But also, brothers and sisters, young people, written into the law that imputed sin to them was a law that commanded them to remember a day of atonement. Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. This is the annual day of atonement, now written into Israel's law and now written into their very practice, their very beings. And he, that is Aaron, shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Two kids of the goats as a sin offering. But on the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, brothers and sisters, young people, if you take perhaps any dictionary of the English language and look up the word scapegoat, it's not the definition that matters particularly to us. There are some things about the definition that are wanting. But you will find in some dictionaries, at least, that that word came into our English language in the year 1530. And it was given to us by William Tyndale. We remember Tyndale best, perhaps, for giving us the first printed New Testament in the English language. The year was 1526. What is perhaps less known, because Tyndale's life was cut short. By 1535, he was betrayed by his religious enemies and was imprisoned for a year and a half. And finally, in October of 1536, this marvelous man was strangled and burned at the stake. But what is perhaps less known amongst us, brothers and sisters, is the fact that in addition to his translation from the Greek of the New Testament, Tyndale had also begun to translate the Old Testament from the Hebrew into English. And in the year 1530, that's the date you'll find in your dictionaries, Tyndale published the Books of Moses, translated from the Hebrew into the English, in Antwerp. And in the process of the translating work, when Tyndale came to that 16th chapter of Leviticus, to the Hebrew word Azazel, he coined the word scapegoat. And to him, it didn't mean a substitute. To him, in a lovely way, that word meant the escaping goat. Let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And the word let it go there, brothers and sisters, young people, is of interest to us as well. Because if you take that word in the Greek Old Testament and see how it's used and bring it forward to the New Testament, there are wonderful, wonderful lessons associated with it. Let it go. One of those Old Testament passages is in the 32nd Psalm. You can just listen to it. It begins with the title, A Psalm of David, a contemplation, and then goes on to say words we're well familiar with. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Let it go. In the Septuagint, brothers and sisters, that's the same word. Whose sin is covered. It's the Day of Atonement language being brought forward into the psalm. And if we bring that language forward into the New Testament, the applications are just as wonderful for us to think about and to contemplate really what it's telling us. You know this one. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Same word. Let it go. Or this one. Then behold, they brought to him, that is the Lord Jesus, a paralytic lying on a bed, and we envision it because it is we. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go. Go to your house." And one other, brothers and sisters, that just speaks to us out of the New Testament. John 11, you don't need to look it up. Just cast in your minds and remember what John 11 is about. It's Lazarus. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, the human predicament. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." It's the language of the Day of Atonement. And now, not just in relation to the sins of this man Lazarus, but to the very consequences of those sins. He was loosed by the one who is the resurrection and the life. We return just for a moment, brothers and sisters, to the Old Testament and to the law of the Day of Atonement. And we read something else. "Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. And the goat shall bear on itself," and the Hebrew word "there," "shall bear," is the Hebrew word for forgiveness. "The goat shall bear in itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness." And so, brothers and sisters, young people, I am an Israelite. Back in the days of the Old Testament, and I've drawn near as a worshiper, and I watch. I watch as the high priest places his hand on the head of the goat, and I watch as the suitable man leads him off, and I see him receding toward the horizon. And I understand in the wonderful graphic way that this is portrayed for me that my sins have disappeared into a land uninhabited by the hand of a suitable man. Jewish tradition has it, at least from the days of the temple, that the escaping goat was taken away to the east. And this brings to our mind the lovely words of another psalm. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him, new every morning. So great is his mercy toward those who fear him, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so Yahweh pities those who fear him. And as an Israelite under the law, I watch. And the escaping goat disappears, bearing my sins, released, gone. But I have a problem. As an Israelite under the law, I will come back and do it again next year. And I will come back and do it again the year after that. And the years will stretch into a generation. And the generations will stretch into 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And the time will come when I must die. It's the human predicament. If I've been at all perceptive in my life as that Israelite, perhaps I will have learned two things. One is that God is wonderfully merciful to me. And the other is that my sin just will not go away. The escaping goat almost mocks me now, year after year after year, reminding me now of my sins year after year after year, and reminding me that my sins have to be taken away again and again and again, unless perhaps my faith shows me something on that horizon as I watch and speaks to me of something better to come, of something significant, brothers and sisters, something significant, young people, in that suitable man. And I rejoice to see his day. And we come to the New Testament. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And I'm sure you've picked up on the little nuance of the phrasing there in Hebrews chapter 10. Because bulls and goats is in the plural. And yet, Aaron offered just one bull for himself and for his household. And only one of the two goats was actually offered in the sin offering. And so by giving us the plural there, the writer to the Hebrews is reminding us that this is the kind of thing that had to be done year after year after year after year. No more consciousness of sins, brothers and sisters, young people. The mercy that we perceive in the escaping goat is wonderful in itself. How much more wonderful for us to have no more consciousness of sins. No more yearly reminders that sin has not gone away. But now, brothers and sisters, on the table before us, a reminder every week that sin has been taken away, and we need have no more consciousness of sins. God has provided the suitable man, timely, prepared, and ready. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then said I, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me." There, tucked away in Leviticus chapter 16, is the suitable man. And in our studies this week, brothers and sisters, perhaps we will see others of those wonderful things that are written in the volume of the book of him. They're the mysteries of Christ in the Old Testament that are brought forward now and interpreted for us in the New Testament. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified. No more consciousness of sins. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And we're brought, brothers and sisters, young people, to the cross of Christ, by which the sin of the world has been taken away once for all. But before we end at the cross, we'll just think one more time about a passage we alluded to momentarily ago. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." The forgiveness of sins. It was the Day of Atonement blessing that Jesus was conferring on this paralytic man. And the sins of an otherwise powerless man were let go by the one suitable man. And now the imagery of the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, is taking a great quantum leap forward. Because the paralytic now doesn't just see his sins disappear, as it were, in the distance as the escaping goat approaches an horizon. But now, he felt it happen in his very being. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Never was anything seen like that on the Day of Atonement. This forgiver of sins is the healer of men. This forgiver of sins is the resurrection and the life. But he must die. And we come to the cross. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, a body you have prepared for me." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." No more the Old Testament law, now a new covenant. No more a reminder year after year. Now, brothers and sisters, no more consciousness of sins. He has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And we who embrace the new covenant by our baptism into his death are assured that our sins are dead in him, gone, never to come back and remind us or mock us on another Day of Atonement. Gone as far as the east is from the west. Such is the mercy of God on those who fear him. Of us it can be said, brothers and sisters, and young people, listen carefully. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's Day of Atonement language. Or in Peter's first letter, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, and so we do, when we are buried into his death in baptism, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. No more consciousness of sins. The suitable man has borne them unto a land uninhabited, even to death itself. What then is required of us? What then shall we do? I remember as a young man going to Wilbraham. And some in this room will remember Wilbraham Bible School. The last time it convened there was in 1980. But this would go back into the 1960s. And one of the speakers at the Bible School that year was Brother L.G. Sargent. And what I remember as a young man, and maybe some of the young people here will think this of me, I remember a rather ponderous old man. and he spoke on the letter to the Hebrews. And the thing I probably remember most about that was that just about everything he said went over my head. But perhaps in more recent years, brothers and sisters, I've come to appreciate at least what Brother Sargent has left us in his writings. And we have two hymns in our hymn books, in our hymn book, the words of which were written by Brother Louis George Sargent, who fell asleep in Christ in 1971. One of those hymns is number 91. You don't need to look it up. High over lashing waves, our God is. Our God is throned. Yet shall they lie like glass beneath thine hand. And the other hymn, the words of which Brother Sargent gave to us, is one we'll sing momentarily. It's hymn 221. What then, brothers and sisters and young people, what then shall we do? The essence of the answer is left for us in the words of that hymn by Brother Sargent. And the hymn is cast in a minor key. And that of itself, with its somber and reflective tones, adds to the solemnity, not just the ponderous nature, but the solemnity and the profoundness of the words that attend that hymn. Was it for me? Was it for me thy flesh was wounded sore? Thy body lifted high on cross of shame? Was it for me, the King of glory, bore so meek the scar? And ruthless men's defame. Was there no way for any man to live, but thou must die? No joy but through thy grief? Is sin so dark that God cannot forgive save through thy sacrifice and our belief? What then shall we do? Lord, let me learn thy sorrow. Let me learn thy sorrow. Mark thy pain, that no more heedless through this world I roam, but come to take the pardon thou didst gain and find within thy fold eternal home. Brothers and sisters, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven. Go your way. All eternity lies open before us.
Thank you, Brother Jim. How thankful we are, brothers and sisters, that our sins have been taken away by that suitable man whose blood was shed on the cross. That man whose sacrifice was effective once for all, if we will only have faith in him. Praise be to God who has opened the door of life to us. Before partaking of the emblems of the body and blood of our Lord, let us sing together hymn number 221. Was it for me thy flesh was wounded sore? Thy body lifted high on cross of shame? Was it for me the King of glory bore so meek the scourge and ruthless men's defame? Hymn number 221. We have come together this morning to remember that suitable man through whom our sins have been taken away. That man who shared our nature, who knew by experience the weakness of our flesh, and yet who never gave in to the temptation to sin. Knowing our weakness, he provided a memorial for us that we might meet together and remember him. Now read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul recounts the institution of this memorial meal. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We will ask Brother Ryan Mutter of the Baltimore, Maryland Ecclesia to come forward and lead us in giving thanks for the bread.
Our Father which art in heaven, high indeed over lashing waves art thou enthroned. Great is thy mercy, Father. We thank thee now for that suitable man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou hast provided. We thank thee, Father, for this bread, symbolic of his offering, through which we might be loosed from our sins and their consequences. We pray, Father, that thou will help us to think now and in the coming days, weeks, and months until whenever thy Son might return to this earth, how we might be more like him. We pray, Father, that thou will help us to show others what he was like in our words and our actions, that thy great name might be glorified. We pray, Father, that thou will help us to be a people prepared, watching and patiently waiting at his coming. We offer this prayer in the name of the one in whom we wait, our soon coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The bread before us represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us to take away sin. We're told that in like manner he took the cup also. We'll ask Brother Jim Bates of the Paris Avenue Ecclesia to come forward and lead us in giving thanks for the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, the maker and creator of all things, we stop at this time to pause and to meditate upon thy word, realizing as we drink of this fruit of the vine that represents the poured out blood of our Savior. We realize also that in this world death reigns, but part of this covenant is, for this is my blood of the New Testament for the remission of sins. It is a new covenant that breaks the reins of the death. We realize that we all must realize that how we must let it go, realizing that our sins be forgiven. Our perception is that we will all learn. As time goes on, we realize how great a sacrifice thy Son did make for us so that we can have an opportunity for eternal life. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us and guide us this week. Watch over us as we learn to love our brothers and sisters, as we learn to love thee. We ask for all these things through your Son's name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
In this cup we see the shed blood of our Lord. We partake of it now in remembrance of him. We are told that after Jesus and his disciples broke bread, they sung a hymn and went out. We will ask Brother Cornelius Kellett of the Washington, D.C. Ecclesia to lead us in a closing prayer after we sing hymn number 140. Father, we thy children bless thee for thy love on us bestowed. As our Father we address thee, called to be the sons of God. Wondrous was thy love in giving Jesus for our sins to die. Wondrous was his grace in yielding to the great behest from high. Hymn number 140 to the second tune.
Dear Father, who art in heaven, all praise, honor, and glory belongs unto thee, thou most high God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, who hast given us thy own blessed Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who hast given us thy word in demonstration in his life and for our learning ready at hand. We give thee thanks, dear Lord, for the brotherhood to which thou hast called us, wherein we are able to strive to demonstrate faith by loving justice, exercising mercy, and walking humbly in the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks, Most High, that by thy holy word we are able to imagine in our mind's eye that thou hast given us the capacity to understand thy word, that we are able to picture the ancients, the worthies, outworking the thing which thou hast written, so that we may appreciate those things which were done in obedience, and wherein we might learn of the deeper lessons, those which point forward to our salvation. We thank thee for brethren which are able to paint even clearer these pictures for our minds, that our hearts might understand. We thank thee for this word written in our hearts by our own efforts. When we study together and read individually, we thank thee that we are able day by day to reinforce that which is crucial to our life with Jesus. We pray that we, for our part, might be diligent to engrave this word in our hearts. For, dear Lord, thereby we order our lives and our actions. We pray and thank thee that thereby we are able to generate a faith which is able to overcome something that is extremely difficult to our carnal nature, that we are able to realize and unburden ourselves of that burden of consciousness of sin which is imbued in our natures. I pray that we might develop faith that our Master is able to save us out of that. We give thee thanks that thereby we are able to, with a humble and contrite heart, knowing that such is beloved of our Master, have confidence that in that day of his return, we might enter in humble and thankful boldness before that throne of grace. For we have the certainty, having remembered the death and resurrection and the emblems which he has ordained, that we might have confidence that as he was resurrected by thee for his faith, dear Lord, so it will be for us, that we might be resurrected if we hold fast. So help us to open our minds and hearts to all that is set before us this week, whereby we might absorb its learning and the certainty of a redemption dearly bought for us by him in whose name we now pray, our Master and Lord, even Jesus, thine anointed. Amen.